Hi, everyone, and welcome to the 27th episode of the Language Marines podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today my special guest is Alyona Duderets, or you can call her Helen or Elena, depending on the language that you're speaking with her. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to get a chance to talk with you. I think we last did a video in January. I think we were practicing several languages, so it's nice to get a chance to talk with you again. So, can you tell me a little bit about your experience with the Language Heroes Marathon? Because I think that's where we first met.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, we met there. So I've been in the Language Heroes Marathon for three seasons, let's say. Every season lasts for 3 months. And in my first season, I only learned Italian. And since the second season, I became a mentor for those who are learning Spanish there, one of the mentors, because there are two of us. And also, I continue learning languages myself with the help of the marathon, because it turns out that it's really useful for me to use this system of 12 weeks. So in the first marathon, I was learning Italian. Then it was Spanish. I was mastering my Spanish and preparing for my daily exam for the level C1. In the last marathon, which is going to end next week, I've been learning Brazilian Portuguese during the last 3 months.
Have you found it difficult to not confuse Italian and Spanish and Portuguese, or have you been able to separate them a bit?
Yeah, I've been struggling all the time because, well, it can be an advantage in some way because you don't have to learn this huge amount of vocabulary because the vocabulary is quite similar, especially if we're talking about Spanish and Portuguese. So yeah, I didn't have to learn much vocabulary, but when I'm trying to speak Portuguese, I have to mind this Spanish words coming out all the time, but in general it helps. Yes, like I didn't need so much time to start communicating thanks to knowing Spanish.
I've been doing Spanish for about 20 years, and I still hesitate to kind of jump into the Portuguese. I've taken tutoring with a teacher from Brazil before, and I get kind of frustrated looking at the page because I understand everything that's on in print. But when it comes time to saying, okay, now let's pronounce this, let's say this out loud, I just get really tongue-tied because I'm like, just keep wanting to use Spanish pronunciation. And then what comes out of my mouth is what they call portuñol, of just this kind of mix of Spanish and Portuguese. But and I've had one student from Brazil tell me that when Brazilian Portuguese is not pronounced correctly, it's called Spanish. That was his joke. That was his joke, not mine. But I guess I'm not doing much favor to the Spanish language by repeating that joke. But anyway, I think people who do try to speak both languages, they do understand that. And I do recognize that it is a challenge to learn both languages. But obviously, there are people who can speak both.
I'm not one of those people yet, but I can already communicate in Portuguese. So for now, it's enough for now, but I'm going to continue. I'm going to continue, keep on learning it, and then we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And tell me a little bit with your learning experience. What was the benefit of joining a 12-week program as a community-based learning experience? What were the benefits for you for that?
Last summer, I took up Italian, not from scratch. I think my level can be described, my level at that time can be described as a dormant A1 level, because I knew some grammar, some basic grammar. I knew some words, which are not similar with Spanish words, of course, more like with French. So first of all, I made a video of me speaking every week, in the end of every week, to show my progress and to see my progress. And then, under the influence of the marathon, of the community, I found a native speaker from Italy. And we called each other a few times on Skype. And Well, first time I was very nervous, very confused, so we only talked for 5 minutes. But next time when we had a call, I think we were talking for more than 1 hour, maybe like almost for 2 hours.
Wow.
And yeah, I was quite tired, and of course I was asking him, maybe you would like to switch into English for a while, because actually we were going to make an interchange. And he said, no, your Italian is much better than my English, so let's continue in Italian. And so this was actually crucial to my Italian, not to sit with the books all the time, with the textbooks. Yeah, I began to practice it. Like, I think by the end of summer, I had, well, maybe not a B1 level, but something in between A2 and B1. I could communicate, I could speak during 1 hour, could handle a conversation. So yeah, I mean, I think that if I hadn't participated in the summer marathon, I would just go on opening my textbook once in a while and having no result.
Mm-hmm.
In general.
And how would you talk about your enthusiasm throughout the marathon? Because I think I've experienced this. Maybe I started the first couple of days, first week or two, just like head on and very ambitious. And then as I start to realize, what did I just commit myself to? There's other things that kind of pop up in terms of, well, daily life, work, kids, family, other commitments. And so trying to commit to like studying an hour each day, trying to make videos each day, I started to kind of realize, okay, this is a marathon, not a sprint. So how did you relate to that?
Yeah, actually, last summer was very hot, and my apartment becomes very hot, like plus 35 in the street. It becomes plus 30 here inside. And so I didn't want to study a lot in July. I mean, July was lost. But in August, I caught up a bit. And I think that in general, if we sum up the hours of studying Italian last summer, it was 110 hours. So it's quite a lot, I'd say. And, well, I was just making myself studying. When I was too lazy, didn't want to do anything, I was just telling myself, come on, you just have to finish the book, make some more videos, speak more, and yeah, you're there. So now I'm I keep on learning Italian. I bought some new books. I tried to watch films, which I didn't do last summer. And I think I'm going to take a B2 level exam. I think it would be challenging and interesting to do it. I think that in this second season and in the third season, I had the same thing with to kind of being a little bit depressed in the middle of the marathon. But in the end, I always try to catch up, so I don't see any problem in it. I think almost everybody has it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think as well, like, I think I did manage for that, my first marathon, which was the autumn, for October to December 2015. Yeah, it was a struggle and really trying to improve my Russian. And I think moving forward throughout December, I was starting to feel a lot more like enthusiastic, a lot more focused, a lot more motivated to keep with it. And I think there was a lot of accountability with a lot of people were helping me out. Because I think that was perhaps the first marathon that included foreigners, people learning Russian as a foreign language. So I think we were very spoiled because there's several hundred Russian speakers, Ukrainian speakers in there. So anybody who says that they're trying to learn Russian, if you reach out to the community, you do get a lot of community support. My winter marathon right now I've suffered a little bit more because I've been transitioning between my office job, which ended in the middle of February, and then now, for example, doing these podcasts, launching the online teaching, doing that full time. So that has kind of taken my primary focus and the kind of priority to do things right now. But things are starting to become a regular routine, so I can kind of go back maybe after a short break of not having a regular routine with Russian, I can kind of get back into it. And also, I decided to join the AdOne community, which is organized by Brian Kwong. So I'm going to be doing Russian in that community as well, and then I'm going to be kind of comparing the experience of how does the AdOne community work, and how does that compare to my experience so far with the Language Heroes community. I hope it's not considered like I'm cheating on one or the other, but I'm really enthusiastic about the language learning community and trying to find out what are the best practices, how do people go about staying focused, because we see that with Benny Lewis, there's the fluent in 3 months. With the Language Heroes, it's based on the kind of the 12-week year by Brian Moran, and then Eugenia has adapted that for 12 weeks, and then the AdOne challenge is 90 days. So they all seem to be kind of the same concept of trying to
Yeah,
learn in a
I
community
guess.
for 3 months. It's just kind of what we say, like six of one, half a dozen of the other. It's kind of very, very similar learning
Concept.
environments and concepts. So I'll be looking forward to kind of keeping better track of how my Russian is progressing in over the next 3 months.
And do you still keep on like taking up every new language every week?
I'm still doing that. That's a challenge that started with the beginning of this year for January, where it with the Language Heroes community and with Eugenia and with Benny's support, we did the Speak in a Week crash course, and I just decided to kind of keep going with it. And I think you helped me a little bit with Turkish, with a
Yeah.
couple of expressions. So I remember like the merhaba and nasılsınız, and asking those questions, and ben iyiyim. So I did start looking into the technique of, as Benny says, with build a script, start to introduce yourself, start to talk about your hobbies, your interests,
Learn
maybe.
words that are related to you. Yeah.
Yeah, so I've started to take those techniques a little bit each week. As I mentioned, with the transition in the middle of February, it has been a challenge to kind of keep up with that and to be effective with being able to record myself or schedule time with an Italki teacher or maybe a language exchange partner. It's been a challenge to kind of get that in, but I still each week I'm still like, okay, I'm going to take a look at this language, and I have to be careful how I tell people about this, because it's like, you're going to learn an entire language in a week. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, I'm learning about a language. And I'm like, well, what does that mean, learn about a language? I'm like, okay, I'm discovering a language.
Yeah,
So
like I'm trying to become familiar with a new language. What's wrong about that?
I know. I mean, people think I'm just gonna do this whole like a year's worth of studies in 7 days. I'm like, that's not possible. But it is possible to go watch YouTube videos of the pronunciation, the basic phrases, the hello, how are you, and there's Omniglot that has a lot of phrases on that website. There's the upload video section on Benny's website where people post their YouTube videos where they're trying to speak phrases maybe after a few days or after a week. So there is a large community out there where, like, there's other people that are crazy like me who are learning new languages, but I don't think they're doing it one per week. Yeah, it's a way to discover new cultures, new languages, and I think I'm telling people I'm kind of putting a culture on my radar. And because I think I could just easily focus on the European languages. I look at the map and I say, okay, the world is just, it's a lot bigger than Europe. As I become familiar with some lesser known or less commercialized, if we can say it that way, I realize that there are certain languages that are very fragile and that have not a lot of people in their language communities. And so it is important to kind of bring attention, bring support to those communities to say, okay, Maybe there aren't a lot of people in the world who want to learn Welsh, or maybe there aren't a lot of people who are familiar with Quechua. That doesn't mean we should ignore them. So kind of my language learning kind of helps promote those languages and also helps people become more familiar with the resources for learning them. So how many languages would you say you've kind of dabbled in?
The languages that I can somehow communicate in.
It's a difficult question for
Yeah.
anybody who does many languages. They're like, well, okay, what does it mean to be able to speak it? What does it mean to, be fluent? I mean, that's another discussion, but because
Yeah.
we did a
That's
conversation, I think, like what we did is like 9 languages or something.
Yeah, I think that yeah, I can name 9 languages, including my native Russian and semi-native Ukrainian. Yeah, but they're all European, except Turkish, which is not Indo-European. But I can communicate like more or less fluently only in English, Spanish, and Italian.
And the other ones would be so English, Spanish, Italian, Russian, Ukrainian,
Brazilian,
Portuguese,
Portuguese, Turkish,
Turkish, French,
French, and German.
French and German. Okay, yeah, that's pretty good. I think we kind of overlapped on a lot of those when we last
In all
started
of
speaking.
them. In all of them. Yeah, you helped me out because you know what? That I can't even make a presentation of myself in French. I mean, I can say 2, maybe 3 sentences, and that's all. But if you ask me, like, how are you? Or maybe how was your day? I don't know. Maybe what are you doing? Yeah, I think I can manage to answer. So I don't know, but of course I can understand a lot when I'm reading.
I definitely agree with that of like, yeah, you do get what's kind of mutual intelligibility. I think that's
Exactly.
when people kind of somebody could speak to you in French and you could kind of follow the conversation,
Exactly.
but in terms of the output, it might be a little less. I can relate to that as well with the Portuguese. I could probably follow a conversation with that, but I would have a hard time kind of really pushing forward with the Portuguese.
Yeah, I still have a hard time with the output, but I'm working on that.
How do you kind of keep up with all those languages? Do you mix them? Do you dedicate a specific day? Do you do a little bit of each one each day?
Well, till this year, there were only 4 languages, and I can say that actually, I hadn't been learning English for a long time. I had only been reading books, maybe watching films, maybe some TV shows, something like that. So I can say that in general, each marathon is the time for one specific language, which is going to become the main language for that time, 3 months. So we can say that the last 3 months were dedicated to Portuguese and Spanish on the level 2, like every marathon has 2 levels for now. So yeah, I mostly dedicated this time to Spanish and Portuguese. But actually, I organized some challenges, some flash mobs in my group in Kontakte. And I offer to people to maybe let's dedicate these 10 days to a language, and then who comes to the end, I will send you postcards. And so, yeah, I also dedicated a few weeks to English and to Italian. And now I'm just trying to learn all five languages that I'm learning now, every day. But it's a challenge. But I would like to be able to dedicate at least 30 minutes or 1 hour to each language every day. But I think that in the summer I will stop learning Portuguese. I will just keep on watching soap operas, maybe. I don't know. I will keep on speaking to my friends from Brazil. And but in general, I won't dedicate time to it with textbooks. And maybe I'll stop. Maybe I'll stop learning Italian also. But it will be the time for French. Finally.
Okay. So you're kind of working in phases and kind of bringing a lower level language up and then getting that to a certain level and then moving to another one.
Exactly.
Has your language strategy changed based on your experience with Language Heroes?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, earlier I only learned Spanish all the time. Sometimes English, but every time I took up Italian, I quit in a few weeks, maybe in 1 month, but I couldn't keep on learning it for a long time, and I didn't practice it. This was the problem. But the marathon gave me the idea that it's practicing is the most important things, the most important thing in language learning. And when I started to learn languages as we do it in the marathon, that's when I started to dedicate 3 months to one particular language. And then, well, it's not that I stopped learning it at all. No, of course, I keep on learning it, but not that intensive as in the marathon. So I can say that it influenced a lot my language learning style.
Yeah, I think likewise for me. I think I just kind of kept my nose in the book and looking at different notes and trying to say, okay, I have to learn Russian grammar before I can speak. And then... And I think early on with the marathon, I think I was trying to make a couple videos in Russian to upload to YouTube. It, at certain times, it was a little difficult to try to do that on a daily basis, just to find a few minutes. It's a little difficult. But for weekly recordings, I think that's a little bit easier. Because, for example, doing this podcast, trying to do this every single day or publishing something from Monday to Friday, that's been a challenge, but I'm mostly speaking in English, so I always have something to talk about or an interview with somebody I can organize. But with trying to force myself to speak in that foreign language on a daily basis, it was a lot of a commitment. But my emphasis has been a lot more on the speaking and the listening than just looking at books and reading. So that has definitely changed my language learning practice, of a lot more emphasis on the speaking part and speaking with people, language exchange partners, teachers. A lot of people have given me some feedback that, okay, my speaking has been improving just by speaking, not necessarily by reviewing a lot of grammar or learning a lot of vocabulary. It's been like keeping that focus on the speaking. So I would definitely recommend people, if you're going to be learning a language from scratch, or if you're going to be improving a language that you've been learning for a while off and on, definitely include language exchange, finding people you can speak with, teachers or a neighbor or something like that.
This is also the most inspiring part of the marathon, because people are often very afraid of speaking to native speakers. They're shy, timid about their knowledge, about their level. But as soon as they do it, they're so happy. They say that, like, oh my God, it's such an experience. I'm so happy. Why didn't I do it earlier? And I should have done it earlier. And so, I think it's very important to go further.
And do you have any, you said, like, you organize some kind of little sessions from time to time with your learners, people in your community. Do you have any projects that are coming up?
Yeah, sure. In April, I'm going to launch this April sprint. I mean, I sometimes organize little marathons, which only last for 1 month instead of 3 months. Well, the disadvantage is that 1 month is actually it's nothing in comparison with 3 months. But the advantage is that you don't even have time to give up. Yeah, you don't even have time to quit. So it's very short and it's very intensive. I give obligatory tasks every week. I mean, if you don't do it, that's okay, but you won't have the chance to win, to become the winner of the sprint. So in April, it's going to be the English sprint. We're going to work on our English. We're going to improve our English, or maybe learn, not from scratch. I mean, I can't work with the people who don't know how to read in English in this sprint. But it covers the levels from A1 to C1. And of course, I'm going to run the sprint as well with the other participants. And in May, I'm hoping to launch the same project for Spanish learners. And maybe even I'm going to work with those who want to learn Spanish from scratch, because I can teach a person to read in Spanish like in 1 hour. It's not such a challenge as in English. Yeah.
And I think as we talked about this a little bit before, and I mentioned for the people who are participating in the April sprint for learning English, I've offered to give a free English lesson to the winner. So you and I can help determine, like, well, who's been the best participant in that group. So I hope that will kind of help people stay motivated and stay focused during that. Because like you say, 1 month, there isn't time to get distracted or to give up. So you do have to kind of stay focused throughout that entire 30 days. So I'll be keeping track of how people are doing, and to be able to give some feedback as well. I'll be happy to help those people.
Yeah, they'll appreciate that.
Yeah, because like you say, interacting with a native speaker might be a bit stressful, or you're nervous, or what am I going to say, or the conversation's going to, I don't know, fall apart within 2 seconds. I'll be able to, along with your feedback and your advice and your experience, I'll be able to help your group as well, to kind of give them some tips on that. So that'll be interesting to watch how you organize that as well.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
So I think we'll probably catch up again with see how you're doing with your learners, and then see how you're doing in the language marathon. And I'll try to help keep you accountable for your French and
other polyglot adventures.
Yes, exactly. Have you gone to any polyglot events? That are organized?
No. Nope.
Yeah. Nope. I would definitely like to go to Berlin in May, but I think it's just with the finances this year, the time commitment.
Yeah, I think I can't afford it either, mm-hmm. But who knows, maybe one day. Yeah, sure. In the future, I'd like to participate in many of them, many workshops and conferences and so on.
Yeah, I'll have to tell these people to organize some way that people could participate through Skype, have a virtual visit to the event. But I mean, they do publish the videos later on YouTube,
the lectures,
but it's not the same thing as networking with the people or hanging out, because I hear there's a lot of interesting conversations that kind of in people who discover each other, and then projects that develop. So I would definitely like to take part in that in the future, and hopefully we can meet each other at one of those events. That'd be great.
Yeah, hopefully.
So, okay, well, thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking with you, as always. And so maybe we should say goodbye in 9 languages. So, gracias a todos por escucharnos. Hasta luego. Do you want to do Italian?
Grazie per ascoltare. Arrivederci.
Okay. Let me do this in French. Merci de nous avoir écouté. À la prochaine. How about Russian?
Спасибо за то, что вы были с нами. Оставайтесь с нами.
I guess I could just say goodbye in German. Auf Wiederhören. Vielen Dank How about Portuguese?
Obrigada, até logo.
Okay. Ukrainian?
Дякую за те, що ви нас слухали. Сподіваємось, що вам сподобалось. До побачення.
Turkish, I guess. What was goodbye? Oh, you're gonna have to help me out here. What was goodbye?
Хош
Hoshchaka.
чакав.
Hoshchaka. And
Те, що кюре. Thank you from us. Like we plural here.
okay, what else would I add? Maybe Hungarian, Köszönöm szépen, viszlát. What else have we not?
Hvala in Croatian and
Okay,
Serbian.
perfect. Okay, so on that note, thank you everybody for listening and goodbye, and we'll see you in the next podcast. Thanks. Take care.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Bye bye.